Well, in some ways, President Obama seemed to be trying to rise above the fray yesterday. He gave an address at George Washington University on the budget and the deficit crisis.
Doing nothing on the deficit is just not an option. Our debt has grown so large that we could do real damage to the economy if we don't begin a process now to get our fiscal house in order.
What specifically is that process? Well, Todd Zwillich knows. He's a Takeaway Washington correspondent joining us from D.C. All right, so Todd, you have specifics on exactly what the president thinks we can do to get our fiscal house in order, as he says, right?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning.
So I was in the speech yesterday watching the president deliver it to a dozing vice president and a number of other people there in the audience. Vice President Biden might have dozed off for a bit there. But
he
that's
may
okay.
have. Come on.
May
he may have.
Have
been just really concentrating and resting his eyeballs.
Because it's just that important, right?
Yes.
But we were in the room with the president, you know, partly a president above the fray and partly a president right in the fray. There was part of this was part campaign speech, part policy speech, and part speech saying, I want to bring everyone together. Now, on specifics, the president says he's willing to go deeper than he was before on cutting spending. When the president proposed a budget, it proposed a freeze on domestic spending for the next 5 years. Now the president says, basically, I was wrong. We'll go much deeper than that, just like Congress has been doing these last couple of months, cutting spending. So the president says he's willing to go deeper there. The president wants to reform the tax code to raise some revenues across the board. The president wants to look at the Defense Department to raise money. And here's the huge difference. The president wants to raise taxes. He wants to raise taxes on the rich. Remember those Bush tax cuts that were supposed to expire? The president agreed to extend them for 2 years. He didn't want to do it. And he used the words yesterday, I refuse to extend them again. So that's where he gets his alleged $4 trillion in savings off the deficit.
Okay, and one of the reasons this is important is because we're about to hear almost nothing but deficit and budget for a very long time now. We are going to start with a debate over the debt ceiling in May, but it'll continue as we begin to debate the budget for next year.
Yeah, that's true. Now the debt ceiling debate is really important. It's coming up in May or June. We're not quite sure where, and the president knows it. The president proposed yet another sort of bipartisan commission of lawmakers. He wants them appointed by the leaders in Congress to come up with some solutions, he said, by mid-June. Now, he didn't mention the debt limit, but he said by mid-June for a reason, because that's right around the time that Congress is going to have to pass an increase on the debt limit, on the debt ceiling. Now, the debt ceiling is like one of the ways out of this. Not, I shouldn't say ways out of it. It's one of the opportunities that Congress has to get some of these spending curbs in place. A couple of things they might do, some more lowering on spending, some triggers in the budget that say if the deficit gets this big, Congress must act, or by law, the deficit can only increase this much by percentage of GDP. They won't get massive things like changing Medicare policy or Social Security or huge cuts to defense, the big stuff on the debt limit, but it's the first and one of the limited opportunities to really do something, and that's the next one, and those negotiations have already begun.
All right, well, I mean, the response to the president's speech is almost predictable from the GOP, right? I mean, they're clearly not going to be happy with tax cuts. I mean, tax hikes. But, I mean, I have to assume that there are bipartisan efforts, that there are some ways in which Republicans are working with Democrats, knowing that at some point they have to vote on a budget for next year. They have to vote on the debt ceiling.
Well, that's true. There is a bipartisan effort going on. You haven't heard too much about it. But after the speech, I went down in front and caught up with Alan Simpson. There was the Simpson-Bowles Commission. Remember that?
Right.
The Deficit Reduction Committee. Well, a lot of people didn't read too much about it outside the Beltway, but inside the Beltway, they sure did. Alan Simpson, former senator from Wyoming, kind of a colorful guy. He was down
kind
front.
Of, that's and, one way to say it.
Well, I got a chance to ask him what he thought the way out of this was. Is there any chance for any of the president's proposals to actually become law in this partisan environment? Listen to Simpson.
Just pray for the Gang of Six. Your guys your age, keep praying.
What happens if the Gang of Six fails or if they
fail? Well, then guys like you will be picking grit with the chickens when you're 65.
That's the only hope?
Well, sure. What the hell? You think you're going to get there? I mean, who's going to get there? If we can't do it, it's going to affect you. It won't affect us. It won't affect any of us. Better hope it works.
grit with the chickens.
Grit with the chickens. Yeah.
It's important for you to put the mic near your mouth, you know, when you're doing that. Okay.
Well, if you knew the recorder I had, it was Simpson or me, so I decided to record Simpson.
Well, you know, Simpson's a lot more candid when he's not a senator than he ever was back in the 80s. What do you think about that?
That is absolutely true. He's got a lot more freedom. He's got a lot more age, a little longer in the tooth, as he would say, and he does sort of tell it like it is in a way. Now, I want to tell you real quick what the Gang of Six is. That's six senators, three Republicans, and three Democrats. Senators behind closed doors right now trying to work on a bipartisan plan to reduce the debt and reduce the deficit in the long term. They're sealed up. They're not saying much, and for good reason. They think it's if they do let us in on their negotiation, it's all going to fall the way of the rest of this, which is a lot of partisan sniping. And you heard Alan Simpson there pray for the Gang of Six because he thinks it's the only way to get an agreement this year, the only bipartisan way out of this.
Well, everyone has stopped talking about the government shutdown and the budget that is going to fund us for the rest of the fiscal year, but we haven't passed that yet. Please tell me, Todd, that there's no real controversy over whether or not it'll pass.
It's going to pass. That goes on the House and Senate floor today. Celeste, it's going to pass, but it's a little dicey. You want to keep your eye on it. The question is, will Republicans get enough votes to pass it themselves? They might not and might have to ask Democrats for the votes to pass this. That has implications for the rest of the year on what kind of deals they can get on all of the spending that we're talking about. Then it goes to the Senate. Keep in mind, any one senator can hold this up and make it possibly go beyond Friday. The current continuing resolution that we're under expires Friday. If it goes beyond Friday, technically we're in, shutdown.
No. You're not, shutdown is not allowed. Although this vote in the House is kind of a more of a test of John Boehner than we've even seen before.
Yes, it's the biggest test of John Boehner, and then when it goes to the Senate, just keep your eye on it. A senator can't block this thing, but they can slow it down. A Tea Party senator, maybe Rand Paul, hasn't said that he won't block it, so we're keeping our eye on that.
That's Todd Zwillick, a Takeaway Washington correspondent, kind of comparing Rand Paul to the dog that hasn't barked yet. We do get that vote coming up in the House on whether or not they're going to pass the budget that would fund the government through September. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure.